My role is as President CEO of Ralph Anderson and Associates, and we're what would be considered a small boutique recruiting firm. I'm a working CEO, so I take on a lot of searches that I do personally, and so I'm delighted to be selected for this. To let you know, over the last 2 or 3 years, I've conducted 15 town or city manager searches, and over my career as a recruiter, I've conducted more than 60 town and city manager searches. So I feel well equipped to work with you and to walk you through this particular process. The time frame typically is 90 to 120 days, and that would be from the time we open the search to when you do final selection. Your candidate that you select may, of course, need to give advance notice to their employer, and that's why that search process could be a little elongated. That certainly could change if you had someone in transition or an internal candidate that would be selected. So, in order to begin the search, as Andy mentioned, I will be contacting each of you individually just to introduce myself and to find out a little bit more about what you would like to see in the new town manager. I talked to you about the characteristics, those attributes that you want to see, the type of experience, and then also how broadly we would like to look in the search process, whether or not we're looking locally, statewide, Western region, or national. So those will be some things that I'm talking with each of you about, and then I will synthesize all of that information together and put that into a digital brochure that would be approved by you as the hiring authority before we went out to the general public with those particulars. We then manage the process from start to finish, and that means I will be with you each step of the way as your consultant and your staff on this search. And one of the things that Andy did mention is our flexibility. And this is your process, and I'm there to help you develop that along the way. So that may mean including a community survey and also helping you design the final steps of a selection process. I will mention that a community survey will be something that you would use, not necessarily for the development of the brochure, but to help you determine what those final criteria would be for the selection. So we'll certainly work to get your input on that and develop that for your approval. I will be meeting with you periodically throughout the search. Some of that we'll be doing virtually, and so we'll want to make sure that we have that technology in place. And some of those meetings will also be in person as well. I will be on site when you do the finalist interviews. So, with that, I just want to again let you know I'm looking forward to meeting with all of you, and conducting this search from start to finish. So I'll be in touch with each of you individually as we begin to kick off this important endeavor for you. So if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer these now. Otherwise, I will be in touch with you to establish an appropriate time to solicit further information.
Mr. Rentschler, thank you for your presentation this evening. I'll open it to council. Again, if we could keep this item as brief as possible, but if there are questions, we'll certainly entertain those at this time. I'm not seeing any questions, Ms. Rentschler, so we again appreciate you joining us this evening, and we look forward to speaking with you individually and collectively. So thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you all. Bye now.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Votava. All right, Mr. Standish, special session agenda item one.
Discussion and possible action on two separate items regarding proposed changes to the Oro Valley Marketplace located at the southwest corner of Tangerine and Oracle Roads. The items include item C, ordinance number O22-05, planned area development amendment. Item D, revised master development plan conceptual site plan.
Thank you, Mr. Standish. This evening, Principal Planner Michael Spaeth will give a brief presentation followed by Ms. Sylvan, who's representing the applicant. Again, as a reminder, I'm not taking blue cards this evening. Following Ms. Sylvan, and as a reminder, there is a motion on the table, but we'll open it to the council for discussion.
Yes, thank you, Mayor, members of the council. My name is Michael Spaeth, Principal Planner for the Town of Oro Valley. Tonight, I just wanted to quickly provide a summary for both commission or the council and constituents who are here tonight about the meeting last week. Of course, the applicant's proposal included four separate related items to develop proposed changes at the Oro Valley Marketplace. As part of that presentation and that meeting, the first two items, both item A and item B, were of course approved subject to the approval of item C. During that discussion and consideration of item C, some new proposed conditions were offered as part of a motion by Vice Mayor Barrett, which was prompted a discussion to request a continuance for the applicant and council members to have sufficient time to evaluate those proposed conditions. So I wanted to just set the table, and the applicant, as you said, Mr. Mayor, is here to address those during their presentation. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Spaeth. Ms. Sylvan?
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. I'm going to focus on responses to the conditions that were offered last week. We appreciate the week to be able to focus on this and really take a hard look at some of the concerns and see what we felt we could address. Excuse me. What I'm going to do is I've got this organized by development area, which correlates to the conditions, and I'm going to run through it, and then I'm happy to, as if there's a dialogue to be had, to kind of engage in that as you desire. So here we go. You don't need to be introduced to the team again. So we're going to start with development area one, and really this implicates the first condition, and I know you have a bunch of documents in your packet as well. And so I'm going to be, this sort of tracks going back and forth between the conditions from the Vice Mayor's motion, and then I have a written response and some alternative condition language that we're suggesting as well, trying to pull in as much as we were comfortable with from the motion. So I'm not going to read to you the condition that's there because I know you have it in front of you. So what this slide shows is the proposal for Area 1. The issue that we had, knowing that the concern from the condition was heights and view sheds and two stories versus three stories as you're coming down Tangerine, and what we're trying to balance is the density that we need in Area 1. To be able to both amortize the project costs over the site, achieve the economics of scale, as well as be able to bring forward the quality multifamily that we know we and the town want. So you all know the current PAD allows 39 plus 10. The condition limited everything but the back three buildings to two-story, with a limitation of 27 feet plus the 10 for architecture, so up to 37 feet in portions of the building, and then for the three-story, 39 feet plus the 10. So our proposal is instead of, again, balancing the density, instead of limiting the two-story, what we'd like to do is limit the height. So we would like to you to consider the buildings 1 and 5, which are the two with the orange that we had already indicated would be two stories. We will limit two stories to 29 feet, inclusive of architecture. So instead of 27 plus opportunities for it to go 10 more, up to 37, we will do 29, again, inclusive of architecture. And then what we'd like is for the remainder of those buildings to be able to maintain as three stories. But again, we would cap our height at 39 feet, inclusive of architecture. So we wouldn't be going up another 10 feet. So just to give you a little bit of a visual of that, you'll see on the left of this screen the current condition, which is the three-story at 39 plus 10, which would have been those back three buildings, the rest of them 27 plus 10. And we would like all but two to be the three stories, but really 2 feet higher than the highest portion of those two stories. And again, we're trying to balance all of this and be able to get the density that we need for the site. And then, again, the two-story would be capped at 29 feet. That all of that is encapsulated in our proposed condition number one, what I just proposed. We'll talk about development area number two now, and this is where on the left you're seeing the previous layout, which was for the hotel. We do feel very strongly, and by the way, this implicates the conditions number 2 and 7 when it comes to the architecture as well on the vice mayor's proposed conditions. So first, we believe that the hotel really is the highest and best and most appropriate use for this portion of the site. We would really like the flexibility to have either the hotel, the apartments, or the retail that's permitted in the existing development plan, approved development plan as well. So I'm going to step through all three options. what we'd like to do, again, acknowledging what was intended in the condition, which was to not allow this hotel, but also to deal with the height you'll see over on the right-hand side, we've pivoted the building so that it's not perpendicular anymore. It's sited where it is because we have to have fire access and parking around all sides of the building, so we couldn't scooch it further, but we could pivot it. Those are, by the way, very technical planning and legal terms. We still need the 49 feet, the four stories for the hotel, which I articulated last time, plus the 10, but we only need the additional 10 feet for architecture where the porte cochere is located, and it will meet that 20% limitation that was in the vice mayor's motion. So we went through and double-checked that and made sure that it did. So that's the hotel portion, and we can talk through the northwest corner. Currently is the same setback as it was before, but then as you go south, the southern edge is 300 feet, and about the middle is around 200 feet. And Rob can walk through all of that, or Mr. Spaeth, as you desire. So hotel is, we've pivoted it. We think this works. We're hoping that this is acceptable. And again, this is in our revised conditions number 2 and number 8. If, in fact, the council's willing to give us some flexibility to respond to the market, and we can do apartments if desired, we do need the three-story, again, to make the project work. But we would also maintain that 39-foot maximum inclusive of architecture for those three buildings for the 39 feet. The other thing that I need to point out about the apartments, and I mentioned this the last time, condition number 15 of the original staff recommended conditions, we would ask for clarification that we do not need to duplicate a pool or an indoor clubhouse. We will provide amenity spaces in that area, and we are committed to the extra safety for anybody needing to cross. We feel that the daily amenities we can put on the site, but things like a swimming pool that people don't use daily, there isn't a need to duplicate. the last, and this is what's already permitted on the site, is retail and restaurant. We just wanted to show you a couple ways that that could lay out. Again, that's existing, permitted, both in the PAD and the development package. And with this option, we would also request the drive-through without needing the CUP, but doing the traffic analysis that is stated in the PAD amendment. So again, that's condition number 2, and then condition number 8 for the height of the hotel are the proposed conditions that reflect what I just stated for development area 2. Development area 3. As we said in the hearing last week, there has been, at this point in time, no private sector interest in a hotel on this site. So any condition that requires us to have a CFO for that before anything else is not something that we can agree to moving forward. We are hopeful that as we get this site going and people see the synergy, we've got more people on the site, one or two successful hotels, that we would be able to do something on the site. So what we are asking for in this area, and particularly that building as identified in the Vice Mayor's motion, is again the flexibility to respond to the market. So it would either be one story or retail and restaurant, or if we're permitted to go up to 49 feet, only if it's a combination, and we absolutely are committed to retail and restaurant on that first floor. If it's a hotel combined with either a hotel or multifamily, some of the first floor obviously would have to be associated with that use as well, but we definitely want to create the synergy with the restaurant or retail or both on that in that area. I mentioned the height. Also need to mention something else. Hang on. I do want to mention that there are some unique uses that are coming out of the hospitality industry that are really a little bit of a combination of multifamily and hospitality, long-term stay, concierge type, and actually we've been working with other jurisdictions to figure out whether it falls within multifamily or whether it falls within hospitality. And so by allowing both of those uses, it also gives us some flexibility to maybe bring something like that into the Oro Valley market. The entertainment district, as we mentioned, we tried to clarify last week, we may not have done a very good job of it. The only space that we accommodated in the entertainment district that's required for the apartments is the code-required open space for recreational area. All of the specific amenities have been now accommodated on the apartment sites. So the other amenities that you're seeing in the entertainment district, like the splash pad, the town park, are subject to a future economic agreement with the town. We look forward to that discussion, which can include town-focused public participation. And so we've revised the conditions. Our proposed revised conditions number 4, dealing with the certificate of occupancy. I didn't mention this. One of the things, acknowledging that we won't be able to move this forward if a hotel CFO is required in Area 3 before apartments, we are putting forward a condition number 4 that says that we cannot do any apartments on the site until we have a CFO for one of the hotels. So we want to make sure we're providing a hotel, because we know that's what the town wants, it's what we want, before the apartments. But we'd like the flexibility to have it be, more than likely it would be either the Tangerine or probably most likely the Oracle Hotel that comes out first. But then we would move forward from there. Our proposed condition number 5 deals with that uses flexibility that I was talking about in the Area 3 building. And then conditions 6 and 9 are revised to talk about that entertainment district as I just described. Area 4, and this implicates conditions 5 and 7 from Vice Mayor's motion. We're mostly okay with these, willing to condition, as I said, one of the hotel CFOs to any of the apartment certificates of occupancy. We do want flexibility as to which one. We're okay, and we fully intended that any higher building height in Area 4 was tied to a hotel use, so we're very comfortable with that. And we are okay with the architectural features at 20% of the roof lines for actually any of the hotels on the site, and that is replicated in our condition number 8. So number 4, 3, and 8 in our conditions both replicates and clarifies based on what I just said. There was also the condition for no senior care, which we're fine with, and so that's replicated as condition number 7 in our proposed conditions. And there they are in 2 slides, which, again, is in all the materials, so I know everybody can access them, and I'm sure you have them. I just figured if we needed to talk about them at all, I have them in the presentation, and I'm now done responding. And I'm happy to stay up here, answer questions, go back and forth, however you'd like to conduct this meeting.
Thank you, Ms. Silbin. Well, if you'll stay close by, you may not necessarily need to stand there at the moment. All right, Council, we've had presentation from Mr. Spaeth, Ms. Silbin. We have the motion on the table. Ms. Silbin has provided some, what I would characterize, some support for some of the Vice Mayor's motion. She's offering some other conditions where there's not agreement with the motion. So I'm certainly, if there's questions that you have for Mr. Spaeth or Ms. Silbin to clarify any questions that you have, or if you want to speak to what you favor about the motion or what you don't favor about the motion. I am going to ask, I'm going to be monitoring time. Again, I'll give every council member, I think you know by now, the opportunity to get your questions responded to, have an opportunity to speak, but I will be monitoring the time with the purpose of trying to give each council member an opportunity to speak. So anyone like Vice Mayor Barrett?
My first couple of questions are for Mr. Spaeth. Mr. Spaeth, can you tell us about the this issue about the open space requirement versus there being usable recreation space? Because one thing that I think has really surfaced in this past meeting and over this past week has been perhaps some difference in interpretation of what is required in terms of open space for to meet the recreation area of town code. And so I think maybe some clarity, I'd like to understand that.
Sure. Thank you, Mayor Winfield, Vice Mayor Barrett. So as you know, code requires both a certain number of amenities and a certain acreage based on the size of the and the number of units for a multifamily development. And so as Ms. Silbin indicated, they're meeting all of their amenity requirements on site on the individual apartment areas. So those are being satisfied. So as currently proposed, and I don't have a site plan on there, I apologize for that. As currently proposed for the multifamily component of this, they are about 3.5 acres short of recreation area acreage. So from staff's perspective, and I think to get at your question, that acreage, that 3.5 acres, needs to be functional, usable recreation area. It's not natural desert. It has natural desert elements, of course, but it needs to be functional recreation area. And so, of course, the area being proposed as part of the applicant's design is that central wash area. So that will have to be improved to some degree, at least to meet that 3.5 acre minimum, and it will have to be improved so that it serves that functional recreation need. So that includes some degree of undergrounding the drainage, of course, or shifting the drainage potentially, as long as we can get to that 3.5 acres of recreational open space. That area has to, you know, it's not just going to be a dirt lot. It has to have some grass or some probably low cost amenities can be put in there, like benches or ramadas or trails or something of that nature, not necessarily the more expensive amenities that have been shown on there. But that's kind of the baseline minimum that we need to be able to say it meets code in that context.
Okay, so it's fair during the zoning phase of a proposal to require that code requirements be met, that there be functional recreational space.
Mayor Winfield, Vice Mayor Barrett, yes, absolutely.
Okay. So in Ms. Sylvan's condition, and maybe this is a question for Ms. Sylvan, but in Ms. Sylvan's condition on, let's see.
Six,
thank you.
Yep.
You say, let's see. You're calling it to fulfill the town code open space recreational requirement mm-hmm. for the apartments. So by that, do you intend to underground or shift the drainage and create a usable surface with, at minimum, some type of grass, trails, ramadas like Mr. Spaeth suggested?
The proposal that's in front of you tonight shows that assumption. The assumption for undergrounding the drainage and that cost associated with it was something that we had intended to talk about during the next phase, which hopefully is the economic discussion. If that, for whatever reason, is the next phase, doesn't come to fruition, then we may be revisiting how to deal with the town code recreation area. But for right now, what's in front of you, it is assumed there are other ways to meet that without having to take on the expense of undergrounding a regional drainage system that can even still provide it within the entertainment district.
Okay, so what are the potential alternatives? Mm-hmm. Because to me, it seems like at a bare minimum at the zoning phase, we should meet the zoning requirements before we're talking about any potential extra things being added or met through any potential agreement.
Yep. So a couple of options. One of them is within the entertainment district area, there's a way to consolidate the 3.5 acres and utilize some of what is the open space without having to actually underground. And again, we agree with Mr. Spaeth on the types of amenities that need to be in there. So it would be using portions of what's currently natural open space as the recreation open space without having to go through the process of undergrounding. The other way to do it is for us to figure out how to do it on each of the individual apartment sites. Again, the vision for this was to get stuff going within the entertainment district as much as we could. So we want to keep that alive for the next phase of hopefully our discussions. But there are a couple of different options to make that work. And just to add to that, again, we'd have to come back for a change in conceptual site plan in those instances. Sorry.
Okay. I guess, isn't it fair to require that the parts that need to be done for the zoning to meet town code be done as part of the zoning? That's kind of what the condition that I presented is trying to get at, is saying there's a minimum recreational requirement. My understanding was that recreational requirement needs to be usable open space, meaning it has to meet what Mr. Spaeth stated. And so it seems to me that requirement should be met in the town zoning at a bare minimum, regardless of whether there's an economic development agreement.
Mayor, Vice Mayor, I mean, I agree with you, and I think as presented tonight, understanding the way that I've written the condition, that you can check that box. Then the question is going to become the desire to separate these two, right? The economic agreement and the zoning has led us to this. So what you'd be potentially approving tonight does actually meet the zoning, and then we will work on the next phase. And if the next phase doesn't bring forward this based on what's in our conceptual site plan, then we will be coming back before you for a change in conceptual site plan. And that's not unusual in projects, even without this little nuance, that when we have conceptual site plans in the town of Oro Valley, especially on larger projects, if changes need to be made outside of the flexibility that's given to the zoning administrator, we've come back with changes over the years to those site plans based on changed conditions. We're hoping that's not the case here, but what would be in front of you would be a four-cornered zoning approval that meets the zoning requirements, and then we'll take the next phase as you all desired.
Okay, I think I don't want to overstep my time, so I'll just ask one more on this topic and then see if other council members have questions. But I think that for me, I'm a little bit concerned about the idea that in the way that your condition is stated, we call it open space, town code open space recreational requirements. Mm-hmm. And that there's sort of an implication there that the existing wash, which the town already has an existing open space there, which is protected through critical resource area and our ESLO, would then be double counting as a recreational requirement for apartments.
Mayor, Vice Mayor, that's exactly the reason that I put the town code required. All this condition really does is repeat your town code, which I will tell you is generally not necessarily the right thing to do in conditions, because the town code is the town code, so you don't have to repeat it. But that's exactly why I added the words town code, because your code is very clear as to what those open space requirements are, and they're not what you just described. They're actually what is shown on the conceptual site plan. So that, I don't know if that helps you at all, but that was the primary reason that I put it in. Frankly, I'm not sure you even need this condition, in large part because all it's doing is reciting code. But I wanted to acknowledge that there was a desire to offer the clarity. So I think that connection to town code fixes that. And I can tell you there's no misunderstanding on our end based on what Mr. Spaeth just explained.
Okay, thank you. That is helpful. And I'll yield, and I have more questions, but I'll yield for the time being.
Okay, thank you, Vice Mayor. Other council members? Council Member Bowen?
Thank you. I have a question on the slide that's called Development Area 2 Retail Restaurant with two options on it. Could we bring that up?
Do you want me to navigate, or I'm happy to do it. I got it.
Thank you.
Yes.
Has this been shown to the council before, or a commission, or anyone? Have we seen this before?
Mayor, members of the council, this is replicating what's already approved on the development plan. So the approved development plan is of public record from the prior developer. So this is replicating the uses and just showing some different ways that it could be designed. Again, it's uses that are already permitted in the underlying development package.
Thank you for that clarification. I didn't understand that. Could I ask a question to Mr. Spaeth then? In option two of this slide over on the right, is it possible that two drive-through uses could be built and nothing else, and that would be consistent with what's permitted there right now?
Mayor Winfield, Member Bowen, you could build two drive-throughs over there. You know, we have restrictions on how many drive-throughs you can have within a development, and so we would look at the entirety of the Oro Valley marketplace when making that calculation. Obviously, we would have to vet the circulation and, you know, the queuing lanes and parking and whatnot to make sure that it works from a code perspective. But you could, to answer your question directly, yes.
And as of today, what does that bring the total count of drive-through uses that would be allowed as of right now in the marketplace?
Mayor Winfield, Councilmember Bowen, so you can have one drive-through for every 4.5 acres of shopping center, and I swore I was never going to do math at the podium, but we've got one there today, right, the In-N-Out down at the southern end, so at 112 acres, you could have quite a few drive-throughs there, so certainly you could have these permitted and still be with under that threshold.
Thank you.
I hope that answers your question without the math.
No, it does, and I'll do the math, 112 divided by 4, that's 28. You could have up to 28.
Okay,
thank you, though.
Sure. Yep.
Those are my questions.
Okay.
Are there questions from council? Councilmember
Yes.
Green?
You probably told me the answer to this, but item 7, no senior care uses are permitted. It's probably an obvious reason, but I don't know what it is.
Mayor, members of the council, I think the vice mayor can probably answer the reason we're comfortable with it, because I don't think it's a permitted use right now. But
Mr. Mayor, may I? Yeah, the reason is because prior to the purchase of this marketplace property, there was interest in putting senior care on this on the Tangerine side, and there was a staff decision that didn't allow senior care to be permitted in that location. But the staff decision relied on the fact that there was no residential permitted in this area. So potentially without this condition, if further on down the road, senior care could potentially become a permitted use by permitting residential, versus if this condition goes through, then senior care use would have to come back to council to ask for permission, which I think is the preferred method to be able to analyze if that's a use on the property.
Councilmember Solomon.
I don't understand the discrimination against senior housing whatsoever and why it would be a condition in here. If code doesn't allow it, code doesn't allow it. I don't see what you have against that use in that area. I would think that if developers of senior care facilities thought that was a good use because the seniors would have very easy access to all the amenities within walking distance as opposed to them having to use Sun Shuttle Dollar Ride to transport them across town like we see all the time, it would seem to me that be a very good compatible use. And I see no reason why this council would want to specifically exclude it.
Okay. Vice Mayor Barrett.
Mr. Mayor, I just didn't intend for this. I wanted to bring it out because I didn't intend for this to inadvertently invalidate a prior interpretation that the staff had provided when that's not what we currently have in front of us. And I know I'm not necessarily against that, but I think that should be looked at, especially in my earlier statements when I was talking about we've been talking about the economic impact and things like that. So you're welcome to disagree. I've stated my reasons why I included it, and the applicant doesn't have a problem with that condition. So.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, if I may continue.
Councilmember Solomon.
Question for our attorney. Is what Vice Mayor Barrett stated a valid concern regarding, quote, overruling a prior determination?
If I heard Councilmember Barrett correctly, what she was saying was that this is consistent with the prior determination, and in that case, she can add that because it's already part of the conditions. I guess this particular applicant doesn't have an objection to that.
But that was only for one specific location, not the entire marketplace.
And that, Mr. Spaeth, you might.
Mayor Winfield, Councilmember Solomon, my understanding of that interpretation is that it does apply to the entire marketplace, as currently no residential is permitted throughout the entire center. So just to clarify.
Correct. This could allow, and one of the main points of this is to allow residential usage because the reason it's a ghost town and vacant buildings is because, as expert after expert has told us, we don't have the density needed to support the commercial space. So that was one of the whole main components of trying to revitalize this area. I don't see, so if this was allowed residential, which is something that this council is going to be deciding, it's one of the basic items, is why would we discriminate against senior residential in this area? And another question could be, is this open us up to a discrimination lawsuit?
In this particular one case, given the history, it would not. And I think I'll leave it at that. You would not want to have and the town has to be careful and use its discretion. You would not want to have a series of cases where in every case that was the case. But that's not what I'm hearing here.
What about in conjunction with the fact that just a few months ago a plat was approved with an amendment by the vice mayor saying that there should be two stories for large families? Now, that seems to be a federal fair housing violation when you combine these two points.
Councilman Solomon, I'm going to disagree with you on that on this particular set of facts.
All right. Well, my final argument would be the largest segment of this population in Oro Valley is 55 and over. It's the fastest growing segment of our population, and I just think it would be highly irresponsible of this council to limit senior use, residential use, when it's about to approve residential use in this area.
Councilmember Jones Ivey, did I hear you earlier that you made a question?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I've had my hand up for a minute. Whoever can answer this question for me, the terminology functional recreational tells me absolutely nothing about specific activities that can go on. And I really want a better explanation of what in the world is functional recreation.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Member Jones Ivey. So the zoning code specifically has definitions for what a functional development is. And so while that usually applies on a site-wide design, we can also apply it here that, you know, a functional space is something that is integrated into the overall site design. It is also something that is actually usable. And so in my explanation to the vice mayor earlier, you know, the site as it is today does have some walking paths on it, but of course that doesn't meet that overall acreage requirement that they need to provide. And so they have to improve that to a point that it meets open to interpretation, of course, but from staff's perspective, it meets that minimum definition of being able to be used as a recreational amenity, right? So whether that's a turf area or whether that is ramadas and benches and walking paths and trails and things of that nature. So it truly has to look and feel and work like a recreation area to meet that definition of functional recreation open space. I hope that answers your question.
At what point in time will this actually be defined and we know what the activity is?
Sure. So
the specific activity.
Yeah, Mayor Winfield, Member Vice Jones Ivey. So currently as proposed on the conceptual site plan with the town park and the amenities that are shown, that meets the functional recreation open space requirement of town code. Now, if that is to be changed at some point down the road, should this be approved tonight, and we have a different approach to meeting what that looks like, that will come back before council to make sure that we're attaining that threshold through whatever that new design might look like. But what's before you tonight meets that requirement.
Okay, and you're saying that something as simple as a park could meet that requirement?
Vice Mayor, or excuse me, Mayor Winfield, Member Jones-Ivy, right. So both apartment complexes, one in Development Area 1 and one in Development Area 4, currently have the minimum required amenities that are they are required to provide per code. What they don't have is the open space acreage. And so, yes, to answer that question, they could meet their code-required rec requirements by having amenities on site and a functional rec area that is 3.5 acres in size and could be, yeah, a grass area. It could be walking paths, trails, ramadas, benches, things of that nature. But again, what you're considering tonight in the entertainment district does meet that functional recreation area requirement.
Okay, thank you very much, Mike.
Sure.
So I want to ask a few questions. Let me just make note of the time. Ms. Sylvan, I appreciate your presentation, the conditions that you've provided in response to the previous motion obviously represents a significant amount of work and thought and also acknowledges some of the issues, concerns raised in that motion, so thank you.
Thanks.
For item or area one, you spoke about the, views are important, at least to me, and I think to others. And so you've talked about the height of 29, 39 feet, that there would be no architectural features beyond that point. Can you or a member of your team kind of speak then? Because part of the purpose of the 2710, 3910 is to give some, freedom. I mean, it's sure to hide mechanical units and so on and so forth, but it's also to kind of add some architectural features that give a little variety to the building. I mean, the marketplace is a good example, right? There's, yeah. So could you maybe speak to the architecture with that limitation of 29 and 39 feet?
I'm going to make an attempt, and then I'll have Tatiana come up if I mess this up. Mayor, members of the council. So I think the idea here is as we're balancing that additional height in the view sheds and keeping the buildings a little bit shorter, the idea, what we heard, I think, loud and clear from you all was let's keep the building shorter. The proposal was to bring our density pretty far down, which is something that we can't make work. So the goal here was to have, and again, these are maximums. So the maximum at 39 feet for the three-story and then the maximum 29 feet, that would include parapets, and we would make sure that the screening, that the rooftop equipment was screened as well. I think your question is what does that mean as far as variation in roof line?
Just the aesthetics.
I am going to defer to the architect.
Okay.
Mayor and Council, Tatiana Bressler, Glenn Bressler Architects. So the drawing shows the boxes. By any means, the building would not be boxes. So I would refer to similar projects that already done in Oro Valley, Steam Pump, Mark Taylor Apartments. So all has different roof variation in the roof line, plus materials on a roof, kind of mansard type roof with some tiles. So it's not going to be boxy as that.
So there'd be some variation that allows you some opportunity to do some architectural. Yeah.
Yes, and the mansard roofs actually are a perfect example of that because the top of the mansard, I think, is where you measure the height from, but it allows some creative masking of the rooftop equipment so that you can have that kind of. So Tatiana's right. I this is what happens when a lawyer does an exhibit. I meant to show the heights, but not necessarily the architecture. So that will be achieved.
Okay. And area four would remain the 39 plus 10. Is that correct for the apartments and for the hotel, 49 plus 10?
Mayor, members of the council, we did leave it that way just because there wasn't a lot of discussion. It wasn't part of the motion. So, yeah, we appreciate that flexibility in Area 4 if that's acceptable.
Uh-huh. And I appreciate the fact that you've pivoted the hotel and area too. So I think that's...
Thank you. That took a few days to figure out. And we really do appreciate the 7 days to work on this. Mm-hmm. To say that we didn't work on it every single day would be untruthful. So every day is in the 7 days we've worked on it. So yeah. Thank you.
Okay. I don't have a specific question. I think the vice mayor has. I mean, I can speak to what I favor about the proposal and where I may not, where I may have some different ideas. Okay, Vice Mayor Barron, question.
Well, Mayor, if you wanted to go first again, I have a couple more just questions. Okay. Mr. Spaeth, can you speak to the acreage of right-of-way that is reliant on, that's owned by the town of Oro Valley in this proposal?
Sure. Vice Mayor, or Mayor Winfield, Vice Mayor Barrett. So in Area 1 and Area 2, there are three portions of right-of-way that are being proposed to be acquired. The two on either side of Water Harvest Way are owned by ADOT, but the one you're referencing is the furthest west. And I know it's not shown on this graphic, but it is included.
We own them now.
Okay.
The dates were recorded.
They own the ADOT pieces. There you go. That's good information to have. Thank you. I appreciate that. So the acreage on the westernmost piece that is owned by the town is about 2.5 acres in size.
Okay.
Was there a secondary question there that I missed?
Haven't,
sorry.
And we haven't given that land to the applicant at this point?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Okay, I wanted to check in on that. The mayor asked my question about the roof line of the building. I'd like to go to Ms. Sylvan on...
Could I add just a note
yes.
on that, too, if you don't mind? So,
yes, absolutely.
That's also a code requirement. So, you know, if they're proposing that building height, they have to have that roof line variation as part of the code requirement anyway. So that's something we would definitely make them do. Just wanted to add that in as well.
Okay, so like building 4 is a little bit concerning just because it's kind of straight across to Tangerine and relatively close. So would there be, you're saying there would be variation and things like that?
Yes,
beneath
absolutely.
The 39 feet.
Right,
building,
and done in strategic ways to block the mechanical equipment. But and of course, the marketplace has its own design guidelines as well. So they'd have to not only meet the towns, but they have to meet the design guidelines approved for the entire center as well. So yes, to answer your question.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. My other question is about, for Ms. Sylvan, on the... building in development area 3, or the two buildings, or the way that the proposed condition is written says the building must have retail restaurant within first floor spaces with either multifamily or hotel permitted using part of the first floor and then on the remaining floors. My thought is that I feel like I would feel more comfortable with a little more clarity regarding what percentage or what amount of retail needs to be provided. Because if I were going to read this, I would feel like maybe a coffee shop would count, and then the entire rest of the building could be hotel or multifamily, for example. And so I'm wondering if we... What you would feel comfortable with in terms of the amount of retail to try and make that space viable in the event that the entertainment center is able to move forward.
Mayor, members of the council, I just want to point out, it does look like two buildings when you're looking down on it. It's actually that first floor is meant to be a single building across, which gives some more flexibility as well. And some of that was to deal with the architectural requirements. We don't know what the use is going to be, which one it's going to be, how much. So we wanted to make sure we were complying with what we understand, which is the concern that in addition to the restaurant cluster on the south, we've got some additional pads as well, that would be a part of the building. But I don't think we're prepared standing here tonight to throw out a percentage that we know would necessarily work with the project. So trying to address it and still trying to kind of figure it out. But we understand the intent from the mayor and council, which is to make sure that there is retail restaurant on that first floor as well as the whatever uses need to be on the first floor for either apartment or hotel.
Okay. I mean, I think there's been a lot of discussion about how there has to be a hotel here to make this project work, and I feel like a hotel would really add at this location in terms of making this center successful and the entertainment district in particular to be able to work or come together or be successful. And so your sort of alternative proposal is that you can have first floor retail with apartments on top of that. And I don't think that will work as well as a hotel, but I think there is some potential there. My concern is what that first floor retail looks like. The way that the condition is written, it just says as long as there's some type of retail. So it could be a gift shop, a coffee shop. Then there's not really that, base of retail to support that entertainment center. So that's where I'm wondering what you would feel comfortable with in trying to make sure that would be existing, that base retail.
Maybe, Mayor, Vice Mayor, I think the intention is that it's an independent retail restaurant. It's not meant to be a gift shop associated with the hotel. I mean, the vision that we had talked about was, kind of a sandbar restaurant that might be affiliated with the hotel but would still be open to the public. So something that's open to the public and definitely plays on that synergy. And I think everything that you're talking about as far as there is a significant desire to have that it work and to have the hotel work. What's happened is since February, when we started kind of having this discussion in public and earnestly marketing for this site for a hotel, what's come back from the private sector, which is important, I think, for local government to understand, because it doesn't help to have an entitlement that won't ever come to fruition, right? So we had that time to go out and talk to the hotel industries, and particularly the two brands that were really excited about coming here, and they have said they're not comfortable with it. Doesn't mean they're, once we create the synergy, we get the first hotel, the apartments, and other things going. Mr. Horvath is working really hard to get the other retail filled up as well, that somebody doesn't say, hey, this is a great site for the hotel, which is why we still would like that opportunity for it to be successful. Going back to your concern about the retail, I mean, I can figure out how to tweak this. We're going to have trouble with a percentage just because, again, we don't want it to be a percentage that then makes it we can't bring something forward. But we understand the desire is that it's a retail and restaurant that engages with what's going on externally. And I would suggest that whether it's apartments, people living there, or visitors, the idea is to put people there. Right. And maybe it's the hybrid that in fact, Marriott just announced it 2 days ago, their sort of hybrid concierge long-term stay opportunities and brand. So there's lots of different things that are going on in the industry. So I'm happy to give that some thought. I think the intention is an external retail restaurant that is open to the public and helps to create that synergy on the first floor. But acknowledging that it can't be all of that, because whether it's a hotel or an apartment, it's going to need some of the first floor space. We just don't know what the building looks like.
Okay. I mean, I acknowledge that there's then uncertainty regarding what these buildings in Development Area 3 would or could potentially be used for, and whether or not they would aid in the synergy with the entertainment district or not. So, thank you.
Other questions? Councilmember Bowen?
This is a question for Michael Spaeth. In the hypothetical instance that apartments would be built in Area 3, how do those apartments themselves meet their recreational requirements?
Sure. Mayor Winfield, Councilmember Bowen. So the current numbers that I threw out earlier, that deficit of 3.5 acres is only based off of what's shown today. So should apartments go in there in the future, they will have to also meet the acreage and amenity requirement, which will be, you know, presumably met by the excess acreage and amenities shown on the entertainment district. So in that eventuality, we will make sure that those both acreage and amenities are provided.
Does that mean that the apartments hypothetically existing in Area 3 could claim recreation area that's already claimed by apartments in Area 1 and Area 2?
Mayor Winfield, Councilmember Bowen, no. So it would be in addition to that. So right now the entertainment district exceeds the 3.5 acres. So there is some excess acreage that could be applied to that. If it's not enough, then that's something we'll have to look at and work through should those go apartments. But there's, as proposed again tonight before council, there's more than enough amenities should all of these, you know, be put out there to meet the amenity requirement. So, no, you wouldn't be double dipping. It would be an extra acreage requirement on top.
And just a brief comment from my own thoughts in talking to residents about the hotels in Oral Valley. I know of four. Maybe there are more. There's the Westward Look. There's Fairfield Inn, Holiday Inn, and El Conquistador. And of those four, you can't see any of them from a major roadway. Maybe if you turn your head, you'll see the Fairfield Inn. But you can't see the Holiday Inn from Oracle, in my opinion. You can't see El Conquistador unless you're looking for the sign. And you certainly can't see the Westward Look from Ina. So personally, I may be a little bit too cynical, but I believe that we've talked about having a hotel in Area 3 since 2020, before COVID, when I sat in this room and attended the first meeting. I can't really accept that, you know, we made a really good faith effort, and it's merely because of visibility that we can't get that in here. Every apartment or hotel in Oral Valley, just Google it, availability. I mean, nobody in 2022 drives down Oracle or Tangerine tired and needing a place to stay and is looking up for a hotel sign. So, you know, we just annexed a very successful hotel that maybe a half mile from Ina. So that's why I'm kind of discouraged by what I hear. I know we don't have one yet, but I haven't seen very much effort that we made a really good faith effort to try. And that's all I wanted to comment on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilmember Solomon.
A few comments, response. Now, first off, El Conquistador and Westward Look are destination resorts. They're intentionally not right on the road. Those are not the same things as the hotels we're talking about in the marketplace. As far as intentions go, they already have two of the top major brands slated to come in and have committed hundreds of thousands of dollars for the licensing of that. Finally, our opinions sitting up here as council members just don't matter. It's the opinions of the hotel people who will put tens of millions of dollars investment of their money. And they have said at this point in time, they're not interested. I think we all agree it'd be wonderful to have another hotel there. And perhaps when this project gets developed, it might create the market for such a hotel. With that said, I'd like to make a motion at this junction.
So there is a motion on the table.
Well, I was going to move to amend the motion on the table.
That's fine, Councilmember.
And substitute it with the proposed conditions that were submitted to us, dated 11-10-2022, striking condition number 7, No senior care uses are permitted on the property.
I would second that.
Motion's been second. Discussion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
Councilman Solomon, point of clarification and understanding here. You want to, it's the full motion as it is, just adding in addition the senior.
No, it was a council member. It was to substitute the one from last week with the current proposed conditions, except for the number 7 on the current proposed conditions that would prohibit the senior care uses.
Okay, so again, what I understand you saying is the previous motion is fine, except you don't want no senior care stated in them and as it is in the previous motion. Is that correct?
Councilmember Ivy, it's a substitute motion, which the council member is allowed to do. He has a second, and he's essentially substituted Councilmember Barrett's conditions from last week for the proposed conditions that Ms. Sylvan provided today, making one change, which is he deleted condition 7, which would be to say that there'd be no comment about senior housing.
Okay, thank you for that point of clarity.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Mr. Mayor, earlier you had mentioned that you had some comments and I'd like to hear them. I also have a couple of comments through these conditions. So let's see, in terms of the hotel on area 2. Today the town staff was kind enough to let me see the height limitations based on the new layout of the hotel. And it is still large and it does still stick up somewhat into the view shed. And so it's a little bit difficult, but I do feel like turning the hotel has made a difference. And I feel like there's been a good faith effort here to make a difference and handle that height. So I feel that we should accept the option for the hotel on area 2 as one of the options. I have mixed feelings about the change in the height limitation compared to my original motion. I understand what's being stated. I still feel that the 39 feet, because of the credit that's being given for the grade and the scooting closer to the road, et cetera, I still feel that the closer buildings on the 39 feet do come up pretty high into the mountains, but I appreciate the work that's been done there. On number 4, let's see, on development area, I'm trying to find the, on development area 4, instead of being able to say that we have certificate of occupancy for all apartments conditioned on one hotel, I would still like to tie the hotel here with the certificate of occupancy for the apartments here and have that more contained within that development district. I really like the hotel on Oracle in this location. I think it has, it doesn't block the views. It's close to the state park. It's close to restaurants. It's close to Oracle Road and et cetera. So I'm fine with the conditional use permit, the no conditional use permit for the drive-through uses that was mentioned, including the drive-through usage here, as well as the drive-through usage in area 2 for me personally. But I would like to have these apartments tied to this hotel as they were in my original motion. Otherwise, what I'm currently afraid of is that we would just end up with the one apartment on Tangerine and the entire rest of the site would be apartments, and that then it wouldn't come together and work as well. and it wouldn't facilitate an economic development agreement as well, because you know, any potential economic development agreement is going to be based on the economic development that's occurring at the site, and hotels are going to bring that in, and it can't be based on residential. So the town doesn't give economic development agreements for solely residential properties. And so that's kind of my thought, and I'd like to hear some more discussion about the building in Area 3. I feel a little disconcerted about the lack of certainty regarding that building. It's changed so many times, and so I'd be interested in hearing others' thoughts about that.
Councilman Barrett, before you hear more about 3, it's a pretty simple amendment if the maker would accept it. On number 4, to say instead of one hotel in the project must receive a certificate of occupancy, a hotel in Area 4 must receive a certificate of occupancy. Is that what you're intending?
That would work.
Okay. Councilmember Solomon?
I would like input from the applicant on that condition.
Mayor, members of the council, we're comfortable with the Area 4 hotel being highlighted as the one hotel that would require C of O before the apartments.
Then I would accept that as a friendly amendment.
Okay. As a second.
Councilmember Nicholson.
I have one question for Carrie or the architect. The Area 2, the angle of the hotel, I didn't read anything there that specifically says what kind of angle is on the photos. It looks pretty close to 45 degrees, but I assume 2 degrees would be legal compared to being an angle, but I don't know if there's a variation between like 30 and 50 or something like that. I don't know.
Sure. Mayor Winfield, Member Nicholson. So, you know, the code does have substantial conformance criteria, and so that's what we would use to evaluate if should this be approved. Again, right, we don't have a specific angle on it. We would look at what comes in on the actual CSP or development plan and make sure that it substantially conforms with what council approved. And if it's a wide deviation, then we would tell them they have to bring that back before council.
Okay, thanks.
Other questions? Yeah. Okay, Vice Mayor.
Thank you. I'd also like to, in addition to discussing Area 3 building, I'd also like to ask council if it's their intention to allow senior care in this application. And I'm curious why Council Member Solomon wants to strike that condition if the applicant is fine with it.
Council Member Solomon?
Well, I think I expressed myself why I think it should be stricken. I don't think we should put a pre-existing condition restricting a housing type that a major component, the majority of our current residents and fastest growing component of our residents would potentially utilize. It just makes no sense. We want this area to be successful. We want it to serve all the community, all age groups, all lifestyles. So why would we precondition excluding a group? Now, it may turn out that people who develop senior care facilities find this is not an appropriate site. Then obviously they won't put in an application here. But if a senior care facility does believe this is an appropriate site, I'd like to allow them the ability to put in an application. As I said, if you look at the senior care facilities, you see all their private cars driving our senior residents to places like this because they don't have their own transportation. It would seem to make perfect sense, but I have to leave it to the market to say, if I'm a senior in a senior assisted living facility, my gosh, this would be a wonderful location. I can walk to the restaurants. I can walk to do my shopping. I don't have to rely on scheduling a car. It gives me an enormous amount of independence, and it's a beautiful area to live. So I just, for the life of me, couldn't understand why this council would want to exclude that possibility. These people would be residents contributing to the community, shopping, generating sales tax revenue. Just that's my reason. Now, you know, also you got to remember when you're put in a position like this as the applicant, you've been in front of council a long time. This project costing you an enormous amount of money every month. You have hotels ready to go. You're willing to accept conditions that you may not want to get the approval. But I don't see any legitimate reason for this condition not allowing senior care facilities.
Councilmember Green, then Councilmember Nicholson.
I think we don't want to, in theory or in fact, discriminate against seniors. And I think we should let the market determine who will go in here and let the people who have invested an enormous amount of money help decide that. And I'm not comfortable in excluding any group.
Councilmember Nicholson.
This is kind of a question for Carrie. I think might. So, I mean, I think you're probably okay with it because not having a senior living in there. I assume, like, my dad's 81, I'm 40. I love my dad, but, you know, and he's a doctor, but he eats spaghetti and meatballs. I'll go out and shop. So I assume that, like, you know, you guys want to build something that brings retail in there, and the younger people probably spend more money. I mean, is that more or less the reasoning behind it, or no?
Mayor, members of the council, I mean, it came across as something that was important. It's something that we can be comfortable with. The more flexibility we have, and, you know, there's a lot of different levels of senior care, right? There's the independent senior care, age-restricted. There's assisted living. There's memory care. They all have different synergies potentially with the center. You know, the independent, I think, is what Mr. Solomon described, where people are independent, right? They're going to go out for the spaghetti and meatballs, not have a relative come over and make it for them, right? But then there's also within the assisted living and even the memory care, lots of family coming to visit, which also brings people into the center. So I think there could be a synergy, but again, we were focusing on the stuff that we heard that was really in our minds critical to the success of the project. And if this council's desire is to, as a body, is to limit senior care, we're not going to fall on our sword. There's some other stuff in here we are very concerned about, so that's what we focused on. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. And I have another question too. So Area 3, they're talking about the buildings, and, you know, you need a lobby for a hotel and an apartment. And I looked up, generally it's 1,000, 2,000 square feet for a lobby. Maybe it's bigger, especially if you have a restaurant in there. But I assume the area's got to be 35,000 square feet for the bottom floor. Is that – I was just wondering, is there any type – I think one of the big things is the council doesn't want all living units on the bottom floor. They want to make sure that there's something down there. If we allow the height, we want some type of retail that makes it work.
Right.
Is there anything that seems like it's acceptable? Like, if you're talking, you know, 1,000, 2,000, maybe you do 5,000 square feet, or maybe in a 7,000-foot acceptance out of 35,000, is there something that's reasonable that, you know, we definitely want you to have something you're happy with that succeeds and that's flexible, but is there any type of workability with that? And
Mayor,
if not, you just tell us it's not, and that's fine too. But.
Mayor and Councilmember Nicholson, I think that, obviously, we'd like the market to kind of dictate that. But understanding that the desire is to have retail restaurant, and I would call it open to the public. So in that condition to be, you know, it could be amended if you so desire. If Area 2 is to be developed without hotel or apartment, Area 2, no, that's the wrong condition. If apartments are approved, it's 5. That would be why I'm in the wrong. Thank you, Mr. Rothschild. The building must have retail restaurant open to the public within the first floor spaces. Obviously, it's going to be highest and best use is going to be to use as much of that square footage for something other than what's in the floors above it. That's just the private market. But we don't know what that footprint is going to look like yet, so giving a percentage to it. And what we'd hate is to have a user that everybody's really excited about, and have a percentage capping our ability to put it in there or make it work. So if that's acceptable, it would be 5B, must have retail restaurant open to the public within first floor spaces.
Councilman Sonnelman was kind of mentioning.
Can I just ask a question? But, you know, let's say we get a hotel to go there, but we don't get a restaurant operator. Does that mean we can't open the hotel because we don't have a restaurant there or we don't have a retail use? It's never going to be large-scale retail. It's very small boutique retail that you're going to be putting there. A lot depends on what happens with the park and the amenities in the park, so and how active that is or becomes. So I think to focus on the retail, it's minor retail in this. And basically our vision was always to have a restaurant referred to as the sandbar and maybe a coffee shop or an ice cream store. I mean, that's about what you're going to get there, whether it's apartments or a hotel. Now, the other things that would go there would be the fitness center for the hotel or the apartments, maybe some, you know, ADA accessible apart units or hotel rooms on the ground floor, the meeting space for the hotel, the meeting space for the hotel, the possible conference areas, and possibly if they usually serve breakfast, so there'd probably be a breakfast area or cocktail area for the hotel guests. So that's what you would find typically in this kind of a situation. So I, you know, hope that clarifies.
Okay, thanks. And me personally, just knowing that that's kind of our desire, that we want something for that, is enough for me. I'm not going to, I mean, me and Solomon talked about doing an amendment, but I'm fine with not making an amendment and allowing you guys the flexibility. But I think you just knowing kind of what our desire is, we want to be good partners, you want to be partners with us, so I'm fine with not making an amendment on that.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
I think I'll be honest that for me, the concern is that we end up with a four-story apartment building there that's all apartments that doesn't help pull that whole center together. And the way that these conditions are written, we basically can have that. And I want to make sure that whatever we come out with at the end of the day has the things in it that make sure we get the things that we're expecting. And so versus just saying this is what we'd like, if we thought we were going to be having a hotel in this location, that might be different, but we've been told multiple times that we aren't going to be having a hotel in this location, most likely. And so that kind of leaves apartments as the remaining use that would be potentially going up in this location. And so for me, I was back in our study session when we talked about item B, and the B had the hotel here and at Oracle Road. I was really firm that height allowances were only for the hotels. And so now it's coming back as basically a height allowance for a hotel on Tangerine, a height allowance for a hotel on Oracle, and a height allowance for a four-story apartment in development area C. And I have some concern about that. Mr. Spaeth, it looks like you have something to address.
Mayor Winfield, Vice Mayor Barrett, if I could add a little bit of context here. So to answer Mr. Horvath's question, you know, the way we would treat this is like we did with the steam pump self-storage, right? So it's not going to be a scenario where you have to have a restaurant open before a hotel could possibly go in there or apartments could go in there, but it has to be shown on a development plan that that's what is intended for that area, right? So just like with the self-storage facility and steam pump, they have those retail shops facing west towards the east towards the mountains, excuse me. And that's the same idea that we did there, right? So, and to Council Member Nicholson's questions about the total. So on the CSP, the total site plan is about 18,000 square feet for the first floor of those two buildings. So, you know, obviously not weighing in onto the percentage discussion or limitations on whatnot. But so just for context, that's kind of the square feet we're talking about. So just wanted to provide that for you.
Council Member.
Can I continue?
Okay, yeah, but I'll get to you.
Okay, so Sorry, I wasn't finished. I wanted to address the senior care thing. The town of Oro Valley is not discriminatory against senior care. We have a senior care facility right across the street. We have another senior care facility going in, also in that center in Innovation Park. We have another massive senior care facility that's going to be going in at First and Naranja. And so I think the issue is that, and it's also not discriminatory against seniors. Seniors can live in this facility. It's more when it's a business that's for senior care. And I'm actually feeling more concerned by the fact that it seems like Councilmember Solomon might know something about the proposal or what's intended that I don't. And so it just feels like in terms of, you know, part of this whole redevelopment idea of the marketplace and adding residential was to try and add residential that would support retail, that would support workers. I know we got a lot of letters from, you know, the hospital or the places at Innovation Park, and that was used as justification for putting residential here. And while I wasn't supportive of the large heights to block the view, I do think that that's part of the reason to have some residential in this site. And so that's why I wanted to remain focused on the fact that it was apartment residential and not other businesses. And so all I meant by that was to say that I wasn't intending in this application to inadvertently allow a use that isn't being proposed in this application. If anyone wanted to come through with another application, they can. And the town of Oro Valley has an abundance of senior care and has a lot of senior care that's being built and proposed in the town of Oro Valley. So I wanted to clarify that. And I don't think it's worth, you know, arguing ad nauseum, but that's where that piece of the amendment came from. And we do have a lot of that in this near vicinity to this project.
Councilmember Solomon.
Right. Actually, first, I'm kind of surprised at the insinuation that I seem to know something. No, my objection came simply because you, out of the middle of nowhere at midnight, threw this in last week, and I couldn't for the life of me understand why you would want that restriction in there or why this council would consider it. I have no ideas of their plans. I have no idea if it's feasible. I'm just insulted that this council would discriminate against the largest portion of our population for no reason whatsoever. That's so you're the one who initiated this by putting this in an amendment at midnight last week. Now, you did make some good comments. We definitely need more apartments. We need the residential density. So therefore, I also don't understand your concern about the apartments, because in your last conversation, you seemed to be concerned about apartments. Then you said we do need apartments, and yes, we do. Also, the hotel conversation. Initially, they were talking about maybe two hotels, hopefully one in the recreation area, and then maybe one on Tangerine and one on Oracle. Since then, they've managed to land the top two brand AAA hotels available. So from that perspective, that's an enormous win for this property and Oro Valley. And we should be looking at that win. And in addition to that, there's the potential for other apartments. Now, I do want to comment on this whole view issue. I drove down Tangerine Road again today before the meeting. If you're driving east on Tangerine, you should be looking at Tangerine Road, which means your eyes are focused east. All you see in your entire view are the Catalina Mountains. That's all you see. If you want to turn your head 90 degrees to look at the marketplace, you're going to rear end someone on Tangerine or run off the road, and you'll still see all the Catalinas. We're talking about something that is so minuscule compared to the backdrop of the mountains. Same thing if you're riding a bicycle. Now, grant you, if you're walking down Tangerine and you stop and stand for a moment right at the right spot and then look south, yes, you'll see a building, but you'll also see the backdrops of the Catalinas everywhere, and once you start walking on the sidewalk again, you're going to see the Catalinas. So I really think viewshed impact is being a little overstated, particularly with the current design. And I just wanted to point those items out.
Okay. Councilmember Bowen.
And if I may, can I point out a few things as well? Sam Walton is an extremely well-known businessman, multi-billionaire. I keep hearing that the Oral Valley Marketplace is a ghost town. Do you think Sam Walton redesigns the interior of a Walmart in a ghost town? As for how I personally use the Oral Valley Marketplace, my dentist is there. My new insurance agent will be there. Go shopping at Walmart, use the movie theater, Tuck Tuck Tie, the Keg, In and Out. It's not a ghost town. It's simply overbuilt. If you just had the stores there that were successful, that's a full shopping center. So, you know, I hear this talk about the market solves everything. The market created that. It didn't solve it. So I'm a little bit hesitant, and I think there's a strong role for council to reach out to the community and ask people what they want. If it was just the market, there's no need for council in the first place. Thank you.
Councilmember Green.
I think we've heard some wonderful discussion tonight. I think we're perhaps ready to call a question.
Ms. Mayor Winfield, if you wouldn't mind, one thing that hasn't been touched on tonight, and I would just like to reiterate, based on Councilmember Solomon's amendment, is in the applicant's proposed set of conditions, if the flexibility is provided for this area to have both the hotel and the apartment units, that staff still thinks it's important to have the requirement for the pool and the clubhouse in development area two. So I know the applicant has proposed to take that out, but I just wanted to reiterate that from staff's perspective and a safety perspective, we think that's important. So I just wanted to get that on the record.
Councilmember Solomon.
Mr. Spate, so are you saying that if the apartment option that you feel that it needs to have, I'm looking at a potential amendment to the motion, so I'm trying to,
a simple one. Mayor Winfield, Member Solomon, so in the initial design that we saw last week, there was a condition from staff that if the apartments go in development area two, they have to put a commensurate amount of amenities on development area two as you see in development area one. So that's things like a pool, a clubhouse, a dog park, because again, you're kind of creating that scenario where folks are going to try and go back and forth across Water Harvest Way. If I'm reading the conversation tonight, it sounds like we're headed towards both options being available. And so in the applicant's proposed conditions, they would like to revise that language so that should apartments go in area two, you don't have to put a pool, you don't have to put a clubhouse, but rather some other kind of smaller amenities like a playground or tot lot, dog park. So from staff's perspective, we think that it needs to be that higher level so that you don't have people trying to cross Water Harvest Way on a regular basis.
Councilor Solomon, I would look at something more general, but could we let the applicant address this, Mr. Mayor?
She has, but come.
Mayor, members of the council, we're fine with the word commensurate. It's the swimming pool and the indoor clubhouse that is really expensive. They're not used daily, generally by the apartment dwellers, and we feel that in addition, the other part of that condition number 15 is that additional safety. The wall and where we've got people crossing, and we feel like that's appropriate. So we try to come in kumbaya with staff. On this one, we have a disagreement, and that is our requested revision to condition 10. Commensurate's fine, but not the swimming pool and the indoor clubhouse.
May I ask the town attorney?
Ms. Sylvan, when you say commensurate, I'm reading condition 10 where you said revised condition 15, first sentence to state, the area two option B apartments must include an open space, dog park, Ramada, playground, and other small outdoor activity amenities space, not including a pool. What I heard Mr. Spaeth say was he would like that deleted,
right.
And you seemed to say you had alternative language, but I couldn't understand what it was.
Mayor, members of the council, I when we've had discussions with staff, things like open space, dog park, Ramada, playground, and other outdoor activity amenity space is commensurate with what we have on the other side, minus the pool and the clubhouse, so indoor clubhouse. So that's what we're trying to reflect. So I think we're comfortable with staff on the commensurate for outdoor area. When it comes to a swimming pool and the indoor clubhouse, that's what we're asking not to duplicate. And I think when you read the rest of condition 15 with that revised sentence, it comes together. If again, this is a place where we love staff, love working with your staff. Every once in a while, we come up with a disagreement, and on this entire project, this is it.
If you don't mind, could I maybe, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Mayor Winfield, Council Member Solomon. So maybe I used commensurate in the wrong context there. So what we were advocating for was, yes, that there is a pool over there. There is a clubhouse. And again, as Ms. Sylvan indicated, we have kind of agreed to disagree on that one. But just wanted to, knowing that it hadn't really been discussed yet, that was still staff's position. We commit, you know, talked with police and Parks and Rec and engineering and us, and everybody feels like those need to be on that side to decrease the likelihood of a safety event. So wanted to clarify.
And I recall that conversation from last week, and it seems like with the pedestrian crossing and other engineering approaches and mitigations that they had, that it looked like it was reasonable to just have the one pool, because we know pools are expensive, they take up space, and they're not really utilized that very much. So what if we just did, if apartments are approved for area two, along with appropriate, there will be the appropriate amenities.
If you look at item 10, Councilmember Solomon, it's covered revised condition 15, first sentence to state the area two.
Yeah.
That
okay,
addresses.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I think in the original conditions, that might have been condition 14. We're looking at it over here, unless I'm...
15.
15. There has been you have called it. There hasn't been a second or a vote. I think we're close. I think we're close to coming to a vote. I've been patient with your questions and comments. Councilmember Nicholson...
I'm just going to tell Melanie, I know what I said about Area 3, if you felt strongly about doing something different with that, then...
Mr. Mayor, okay. I'd like to hear your
vote. Yeah, so I want to, again, reiterate that I appreciate the work that's been done. I'm certainly in favor of the proposed motion 1. View sheds are important. Tangerine is a scenic corridor. I've been on this site a number of times with staff, with poles, balloons, drones, and all of that for the purpose of really trying to understand the impact of what's being proposed here. And there's no question that there's going to be some visual impact. But I believe pivoting the building, keeping the apartments to the 29 and 39 feet certainly help with that. But view sheds are important. They're important to our community, the views of the mountains. And so I appreciate, I support the condition 2. And so I'm not going to, I support the amendment that's been made, tying the certificate of occupancy to the hotel in Area 4. I do, Ms. Sylvan, so, you know, we've been having this conversation, I know, for a number of months. In Area 3, the hotel, I think we were clear that the allowance, in fact, when we had our study session, it was really for you to come back to request that 49 feet, right? So 49 feet has always been for hotels. But with this latest request, now it's included the possibility of apartments in Area 3. Everywhere we have either three-story and two-story apartments, not four-story apartments. So it is, yeah.
Mayor, members of the council, as we've had the ongoing discussions, one of the things that we thought we heard was that Area 3 was one of the areas where the additional height did make sense because it's 88 feet lower at elevation than the intersection. And as we're taking a look at the ability to create that space, whether it's with apartments, you know, the more apartments we have, the more, well, the more open space we're going to have to be required to create as well. But we felt that we can make that building work much more efficiently. And we heard loud and clear, we certainly weren't going to add that right over in the other areas. But and maybe we misunderstood, but sort of the height and the view sheds being the issue, that this would be an area where it would be, there might be some flexibility. So that was the reasoning behind it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the discussion. I think the vice mayor has been somewhat unfairly maligned in regards to the no senior care uses permitted on the property. I'm in agreement. I mean, we have 11 senior care facilities in the town of Oro Valley with more coming online, although one of ours recently announced their closing, Copper Health, which I think would fall under the senior health category. And I believe I understand the intent of that particular item. I tend to support it because I believe that the in terms of what's envisioned for the marketplace, I think there's been some reluctance on staff's part. In terms of adding additional care facilities.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to accept a friendly amendment to leave that condition in.
Okay, thank you. And is that seconded, Councilmember Green?
If that's to remove senior care, I will not second that.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
If you'd like to go ahead, I'm keeping track and we can wrap it up. I mean, but
okay, let's.
I don't mean wrap it up. I mean, like, I'm keeping track of the different amendments and things so we can get there.
Okay. So, Councilmember Green?
You know, I think senior care needs to be defined. I mean, probably half of the senior care that's being delivered in Oro Valley right now is being delivered as home care. So that people could go into this facility, keep the people who are living there. When they're able, they can go down and have a meal, go to the movie theater, walk because of all the amenities. And I think just, you know, let the market determine this. I think we're probably taking too hard a stand on it.
Mayor Winfield, Councilmember Green. So the zoning code does define senior care uses, so that would not fall under that category. It's really more the independent living, the assisted living, and the memory care uses specifically, or even the continuum of care of those three that would be classified as senior care uses.
Then I would add those as exclusions so it's very clear.
You could.
And in that case, I would say fine. I would vote for it.
So I know we on back road, but it sounds like, is this okay for our town attorney?
You know, I think if I understand Councilmember Green's point, I mean, the apartments that are being proposed, they can house anyone from 18 to 108.
Amen.
and amen. And if they require care, somebody can come into the apartment to provide them care. Now, at some point, it may be that they don't have the degree of independence that they require, and so then they would go to a different facility that would be outside of the marketplace. So again, I think that was the intent of the vice mayor's.
I'll accept your friendly amendment to leave item seven in.
And you're agreeable?
I would second that, yeah.
Okay, thank you. And I think I've made my points, and so thank you. Any more? Vice Mayor Barrett?
Mr. Mayor, I'm not clear on whether or not we got in 5B, the building must have retail or restaurant open to the public. It didn't sound like that was the amendment suggested by Ms. Sylvan, and I don't think that got in the motion.
I'll accept open to the public an amendment.
Councilmember Green, you second?
Second that.
Anything else, Vice Mayor?
Okay. And then I just want to clarify that we have in the motion that the hotel in development area 4 must receive a certificate of occupancy prior to certificate of occupancy. Okay. I do want to clarify.
Councilor Barrett, excuse me, just for us, where is that now again?
Number four, yeah, your condition read, number four.
Yeah, it would read area 4 hotel in the project must receive a certificate of occupancy.
Okay. This may be stricter than what I'm intending, and I was thinking just the apartments in area 4 would be tied to the development in area 4. And if we add it there, it would effectively say that it would also tie the apartments in area 1 and 2, and that wasn't my intention.
Okay, you're right. Vice Mayor Barrett, you are correct. What it should say is that area 4 hotel must receive a certificate of occupancy prior to the certificate of occupancy being issued for any apartments in area 4. So area 4 goes on the front and the back end of that.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, because I didn't want it to be overly restrictive to that single hotel in area 4 and not allow development of the apartments in area 1 and area 2. Okay.
Thank you.
Is that going to be, Councilmember Solomon, are you willing to?
Yes. So I accept them in. I believe it is on condition 4. It'd be a new sentence that says, Area 4 hotel, COO, must be obtained prior to construction of apartments, prior to construction of the Area 4 apartments.
Prior to the C of O.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's a hotel in the area 4 must receive a C of O prior to the C of O being issued for any apartments in area 4.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Okay.
And I mean, personally, I'd like to see the building in area 3 be at 39 feet unless it's a hotel and then have 49 feet. If the majority of council is open to that, is amenable to that amendment, I'd like to make that amendment. Otherwise, I'm fine with what has been proposed.
Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor Barrett, no, I don't think I do. This is a friendly amendment. As stated, 49 feet may indeed be necessary for a hotel, particularly if we're going to a tier 2 or tier 3 hotel in that area. It is in a hole, so it is lower. It is not visible. Readily visible from the street, so that's one that I think would be best. We want this area to be successful, and I don't think it'd be wise to limit the potential of a hotel there because of 10 feet. So I would not accept that as a friendly amendment. I would respectfully request that you stay with the 49 foot for those reasons.
Vice Mayor.
Councilmember Solomon, I wanted to clarify that what I would propose would be that 49 feet plus 10 for architectural is permitted for hotel use only in Area 3. And so, in Development Area 3. So similar condition to what Ms. Sylvan has in Item 3 added to Area 3. So if it does end up, I think it provides an incentive to continue to try and bring a hotel in, which can help all of us to make that that area work in the event that we are able to make that area work. And so so otherwise it would stick within the 39-foot allowance, which is consistent with what the council provided as direction at the study session.
Mr. Mayor, if you please, could we get the applicant's input on that?
Mayor, members of the council, with the size of that building, our concern is that apartments wouldn't be viable if we don't have that additional floor up there. And again, because of the height differential and where it's located. And I would suggest, too, that I'm not sure the developer needs extra incentive. The goal would be to get a hotel in there because that's really what we want to do. And we're hoping that the market drives that. But we're to have even apartments be successful in a mixed-use building like that, we feel we really need that additional floor because that would only give really two floors of apartments, especially with the desire and our desire to have the first floor include retail and restaurant open to the public. So we need that fourth floor.
I think since we're already requiring them to have the first floor retail, that it certainly makes sense that they've got to make it economically feasible. So, I would decline that as a friendly amendment.
Any more discussion? Councilmember Bowen?
I just have a question. About 10 minutes ago, Councilmember Green called the question. Did we get a second?
We didn't get a second.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Nicholson?
All right, so for Area 3, are you saying then that if you do the 49 feet, you're willing to do a certain amount of retail? I know we're saying retail, but do we know how much of that is retail for doing four stories?
Mayor and Councilmember Nicholson, what we're saying is that if it's a mixed use, which means it would have the potential to have the 49 feet, that there will be retail restaurant, which is our intention. And then I think one of the amendments was that it would be open to the public. So in 5B, so that's the intent. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Councilmember Bowen.
Question for Carrie Sylvan. We've repeatedly heard certain number of stories is needed to make an apartment project viable. What does that mean?
Sure. Mayor, members of the council, I mean, there's a lot that goes into that statement. In looking at a building like this, again, the proposal is about an 18,000 square foot plate. So the question about the economies of scale in building apartments with commitment for retail on the bottom and the amenities that go along with that and having the ability to only put two floors of apartments as opposed to three floors is something that's concerning for the project. As it is, it probably would be about, I think we said 60 to 80 apartments. In a building that's four floors, and if you knock a floor off of that, it's really a very small number of apartments for the cost of, especially nowadays, for a building of that size. So it's the economies of scale, and it's different on various projects.
So the fact that we have large apartment projects contemplated in Area 1 and 4 don't provide an economy of scale for Area 3?
Mayor, members of the council, these will most likely be independent projects at some level, especially for Area 3. So as the developer of the project, we work with, you know, different users. And so they all, depending on how that happens, they have to stand on their own. And chances are development Area 3 is going to be standing on its own with a development partner. So it doesn't all go together as easily as you might think it would.
Believe me, I've been through this. I don't think it goes together easily at all. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, seeing no other questions, we've got an amended motion on the table with clarification on those additions. All in favor, say aye.
Mr. Mayor, could we possibly have the amended motion read back by the attorney?
I'll do my best.
Okay.
So Sorry, is that okay? Or?
Sure.
I just want to make sure. No,
and the clerk may have it too. So. Amendment in condition 5, where it says retail and restaurant, add behind that open to the public. Amendment in number 4, a hotel in area 4 must receive a certificate of occupancy prior to certificate of occupancy being issued for any apartments in area 4. I believe that we kept, we're keeping number 7.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And Mr. Standish, did you see others? Condition number 10, I do not believe we changed the condition as asked for by Ms. Sylvan. But those are the ones I had. Mr. Standish, did you have others?
No, I believe that's, what I captured as well.
Okay. So that I would like to address this item 10. Mr. Spaeth, is that what you're... No?
Vice Mayor, it is not. I just wanted to point out that your original motion from last week was striking condition 8 of the staff conditions. I didn't hear that in Mr. Or Councilmember Solomon's amended motion. I presume the intent was to keep that as struck because it would now conflict with the building height permissions for the buildings in Area 3. So I just wanted to clarify that that was still the intent. The original motion from last week struck, and that condition was that the building heights increases for the buildings in Area 3 were not use-specific. So are you wanting to retract that?
Yeah, I think we need to add to strike item 8, because now the building height is based on it being a mixed use of either apartments or hotels. Correct? So they are use specific.
Yes. Just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you. I just wanted to double check a couple things. And then I do want to talk about item 10. Ms. Sylvan, it seemed like last time you were okay with the idea of a small clubhouse where people could sort of pay their bills and things like that. And I was told that that was accepted by the applicant, but that the pool was a difficulty. And now we're saying not a clubhouse or a pool.
Mayor, members of the council, I think at least my notes from my presentation were exactly the same and this condition is exactly the same, so I apologize if I misinterpreted or if I misspoke. The question of an office, right, where people can pay bills, whatever, will more than likely be within one of the spaces there. A clubhouse is a very different, that's a full-blown fitness center, that kind of stuff. That's what we don't want to replicate. So I apologize if I may have misspoken. But again, the office is not part of the amenity package. That's a needed thing in the area. So,
okay. I do have some concern with going forward with item 10, given the fact that that's kind of moving against our staff, our police department, our traffic engineers. I feel like we've relied on those individuals in the past to steer us well regarding safety for pedestrians, and that's what they're telling us is the purpose of this requirement, is for the safety of pedestrians. And so I'd like to ask that item 10 be stricken and the staff's recommendation be approved.
I don't accept that as a friendly amendment. First thing I'd like to ask as a traffic engineer is if the our town engineer is if the mitigation proposed in the current plan is to his satisfaction.
Can we pull condition 10 up?
that's what we're recommending.
Right. So that's
right. My recommendation as a traffic engineer on this is that the pieces that create that barrier for pedestrians to walk straight across the road remain. The use itself is more on the planning side with regard to the attractive, you know, as long as it's a barrier, it'll help abate the attractive nuisance and force people to cross where we want them to cross, which is the raised crosswalk just to the east. With regard to the actual uses, again, as a traffic engineer, I don't have an opinion on the actual uses. I just want to make sure that the barrier is intact and remains. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. In that case, I'm okay with item 10.
Councilmember Bowen.
Thank you. I have a question for legal on item 9. I believe what we're talking about tonight was a continuance of an item from a week ago.
Yep, I got you. We spoke about this earlier. I think Councilman Bowen pointed to, I think I've got you.
Is it legal to have this a condition talk about
right.
it?
Right, I think what we want to say is that should be amended. I think it's covered elsewhere within the document, but it could say all amenities shown within entertainment district will be part of a separate agreement. Delete the words public-private partnership with the town, which, and I think this should be in there to incorporate too, instead of could, will include public engagement by the town of citizens to identify the amenities per that agreement.
So in your interpretation, what does that bind us to when we accept it?
It binds us to having a discussion as to what those amenities will be and what each party may or may not contribute, and it binds us to have public engagement where there will be discussion from citizens or whatever the town decides as to what they're looking for in amenities. But there's no binding agreement as to anything.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I'll accept an amendment to friendly amendment to number 9, where we strike out the words "the public/private partnership," and so that it reads "all amenities shown within the entertainment district will be part of a separate agreement with the town, which could include public engagement by the town of citizens to identify the amenities for that agreement."
So instead of could, the attorneys said it should read "which will include" instead of could.
Will.
Fine with that?
Yeah, I think that was consistent with council's direction.
Yeah. Okay, Councilmember Solomon?
Yes.
Councilmember Green?
Yes.
Are we good?
Yeah, I mean, there's a typo. It should say Town of Oro Valley citizens, but I think we know what that means. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So with the motion and the amended motion with these changes that we've addressed, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Nay.
Nay.
So the motion passes 6-1. Let's see. So I move to adjourn.
Second. Mr. Mayor, we still have item D.
Oh, do we have item D? Oh, I'm sorry. We sure do. Okay, item D. Can I get a motion? I do.
Mr. Mayor, I move to conditionally approve item D, the revised master development plan / conceptual site plan, subject to the conditions in attachment 1, item D, and the conditions that were just approved in item C, based on a finding that it's in conformance with all applicable general plan and zoning code requirements.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Green. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Nay.
Nay.
The ayes have it, 6-1. And I believe now I can move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you. Aye.